As you know, Shehbaz Sharif became the new Prime Minister of Pakistan on 11th April 2022. And if you know, he became the new Prime Minister after a no-confidence motion was moved by the opposition, that is PDM, against Imran Khan. Now, PDM is Pakistan Democratic Movement. It is basically a coalition of opposition parties who went against Imran Khan. These are the political parties that together forms Pakistan Democratic Movement. There are about 10 to 13 political parties, and within them there are three prominent figures. The first one is Maulana Fazlur Rahman from Jamiat Ulema-e-Islam. Then there is Bilawal Bhutto from Pakistan People's Party. He is also the son of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto and President Asif Ali Zardari. And the third person is Shehbaz Sharif, who is from Pakistan Muslim League N. N stands for Nawaz. So all these prominent political figures came together in September 2020 as a coalition of opposition parties against Prime Minister Imran Khan, accusing his regime of poor governance, mismanaging the economy and foreign policy. By the way, Imran Khan's political party is called PTI, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf. A no-confidence vote against Imran Khan was passed on 9th April. But then many of his own MPs, close to two dozen of them, who were also Imran's key allies, started resigning from March 2022 itself. And they joined hands with PDM, that is People's Democratic Movement. If you remember, on March 18th, all these MPs who were Imran Khan's key allies were found to be relaxing. They were doing wining and dining in Pakistan People's Party's bungalow. So everything was planned in advance, Imran Khan's expiry date was pre-decided. And now I will tell you in short, how did Imran Khan come to power? If you remember, Imran Khan became the Prime Minister of Pakistan on 18th August 2018. If you look at the 2018 Pakistani general election, Imran Khan's political party, that is Tehreek-e-Insaf, they were able to win 149 seats out of 342 seats in the National Assembly. And to form a majority government, 172 seats is required. But then Imran Khan had 149 seats. Now the question is, how did Imran Khan become the Prime Minister? Well, he became the Prime Minister with the help of Pakistani army. Although if you see, his political party PTI existed since 1996. But then you will notice that he was not that popular in Pakistan politics. No one cared about his existence until 2018. But then all of a sudden he got all the power in 2018. So it cannot be a coincidence. He was given the power, or you can say he was selected, not elected. He was selected to be the Prime Minister of Pakistan, and the Pakistani army had a full backing behind Imran Khan's success. Now you may have a question, why did Pakistani army help Imran Khan? And the straightforward answer is, they were fed up of Nawaz Sharif. See, you have to understand that the role of civil government in Pakistan has very limited scope, or you can also call it zero. They have always been made to feel insecure by the Pakistani army and their authorities. Because in Pakistan, the Pakistani army general and other senior military authorities are the ones who actually control and run the country. Politicians are puppets. Nawaz Sharif had a personal ambition, and that was to end Pakistan army's control on civil government. He has many times openly criticized Pakistani army generals. He even sacked one army general, Jahangir Karamat, back in 1997. Then he also did the same thing with General Pervez Musharraf in 1999. But then if you want to know the truth, even Nawaz Sharif was himself a puppet of the Pakistani army. That is how he has been the Prime Minister of Pakistan three times. Nawaz Sharif and his brother Shehbaz Sharif, they both benefited a lot from the Pakistani establishment. During 70s and 80s, they received numerous business contracts. That is how their family business developed. And then both the brothers made their entry into politics. So in a way, if you see, even Nawaz Sharif was the creation of Pakistani army. Even Zulfikar Ali Bhutto was a creation of the Pakistani army. How do you think he died? It was a judicial murder done by the Pakistani army to save their image. Anyhow, Nawaz Sharif has worked under several army generals from 1990 to 93, then 97 to 99, then 2013 to 2017. In fact, he was among the few civilian leaders who had friendly relations with the military establishment. But that did not take him anywhere. As I said, it was Nawaz Sharif who dismissed General Pervez Musharraf in 1999. And then Musharraf in return overthrew Nawaz Sharif's government and took over. Then Nawaz Sharif was charged for corruption and he was sent into exile along with his brother Shehbaz Sharif. He came back in 2013. He became the Prime Minister for the third time. In his third time, he started developing inclination towards India. If you remember, in 2015, he also invited Prime Minister Modi to Islamabad. And obviously, Pakistani army did not like it. That is why you must have seen in the year 2016, from the beginning itself, a series of events took place. In January 2016, Pakistani terrorists attacked the Indian Air Force base in Pathankot. After that, an Indian national Kulbhushan Jadhav was arrested in Balochistan. Then Uri attack happened, So all these events are not coincidence. These were pre-planned by the Pakistani army. And on the other hand, the Pakistani army started preparing Imran Khan as Nawaz Sharif's replacement. And then, as you know, in 2017, Nawaz Sharif was charged for corruption in Panama leaks, wherein he was sentenced to 10 years prison. Then Imran Khan came into the picture and the rest is history. So it was the Pakistani army who made Imran Khan the Prime Minister of Pakistan. Now I will tell you how the Pakistani army helped Imran Khan. In 2018 election, Imran Khan got 149 seats in the National Assembly. Although his party PTI became the single largest party to have gathered 149 seats in 2018 general election, but it was not enough to form a majority government. To form a majority government, 172 seats is required. So what happened was Imran Khan received support from many independent candidates and smaller parties like PMLQ, BNPM, BAP and MQM. And that is how PTI was able to cross the halfway mark and form a majority government without having to seek PMLN and PPP's support. And all these independent candidates and smaller parties that I've mentioned, they were given direct orders by the Pakistani army to render their support towards Imran Khan. Apart from all of this, the Pakistani army was also indirectly involved in many activities that played a crucial role in making PTI win the election. These include pre-poll and post-poll manipulation, political engineering to deny a level playing field to all political parties, delay in counting of votes, media censorship, harassment of journalists and threats against free speech and many more. All of this resulted in a significant shift in voting behavior and preferences, and that is how Imran Khan's party PTI emerged as the single largest party, and then with the support of some independent candidates and smaller parties, Imran Khan became the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And now I will tell you about the downfall of Imran Khan. So as I said, Imran Khan became the Prime Minister of Pakistan on 18th August 2018. If I have to tell you in short as to what led to the fall of Imran Khan, then it is pretty simple. It was the Pakistani army who selected Imran Khan to be the Prime Minister. And during his tenure as a Prime Minister, he slowly started going against the interest of the Pakistani army. In fact, if you look at any of the civil government head, the first thing that you have to understand is that the Pakistani army will have a deep role in it. The second thing that you have to understand is that after becoming the Prime Minister, they forget how they became the Prime Minister. And then they start to develop this notion that they are superior to the Pakistani Army Chief. So basically, that is what becomes the beginning of their downfall. The same thing happened with Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, Nawaz Sharif and now Imran Khan as well. The Pakistani army has always directly or indirectly controlled the army for most of its existence. During Imran Khan's tenure as a Prime Minister, the differences between him and the military leadership started accumulating with time. So one of the reasons that the Pakistani army selects a fresh face as the head of the civil government is to secure the Pakistani military's public image. They always look for someone who can do their regular political things while also serve the Pakistani army's interests in both domestic as well as foreign policy. But Imran Khan did not do that. I'll give you an example. If you remember Imran Khan's statement on United States' war against Taliban, he publicly said that Pakistan was fighting America's war and suffered huge loss of men and material. If you see, he actually spoke the truth. See, Taliban is actually the creation of Pakistani army. Everyone knows this. After 9/11, Pakistani military switched side and started supporting the American forces in fighting Taliban. Obviously, United States was giving huge amount of money to Pakistan. Again, watch the video why United States left Afghanistan. In that, I have explained everything in detail. In fact, there are many media reports in which you will see that the Taliban has openly said that Pakistani government and military are slaves of America. Pakistan is taking money from US and fighting their war. Why do you think today Taliban is attacking Pakistani military? Every day killing soldiers of the Pakistani army. Because Taliban wants to impose Islamist rule in Pakistan. And for those of you who think that Tehrik-e-Taliban and Afghan Taliban are different, then you are wrong, they have similar ideology and they operate on similar principles. Both of them are pro-Pashtun and both of them support each other. So anyhow, when Imran Khan said that Pakistan was fighting America's war, he actually spoke the truth. But then that was totally opposite of Pakistan military's narrative. Because after his statement, the pressure started mounting on Pakistan's military leadership. Just think about it, if the Prime Minister of a country is saying such things, then obviously a question will be raised on the military leadership, and that is, if Pakistan was fighting America's war, then all the sacrifices of young officers and soldiers are a waste. So this is one example where Imran Khan started doing things totally opposite of what the Pakistani military leadership wanted. I'll give you another example. If you remember last year, that is in October 2021, Imran Khan and Pakistani military leadership again had standoff regarding the appointment of the new ISI chief. So basically what happened was, the previous ISI chief was Faiz Hamid. He was known to be a close ally of Imran Khan. So naturally, Imran Khan did not want his replacement. But the Pakistani Army Chief, General Bajwa, had already decided that Lieutenant General Nadeem Anjum would become the new DGISI. But then as per the protocol, it is the Prime Minister who appoints the DGISI. Prime Minister Imran Khan was selected in the first place by the Pakistani military. So naturally, he should be listening to General Bajwa. But he did not. He delayed the appointment of new DGISI for several weeks. Nadeem Anjum, before becoming the new ISI chief, he was the core commander of 5 Corps in Karachi. He left Karachi and he was sitting in Islamabad to take over as the new ISI chief. And Imran Khan made him wait for several weeks. Obviously, the military establishment is going to take it as an insult. This is also another reason that led to bad tussle and affected Pakistan's civil-military relations. Again, who is the central figure here? Imran Khan. I'll give you another example. If you remember in 2018, as soon as he became the Prime Minister, he said that CPEC deal with China was unfair to Pakistan. He even said that the previous government, that is Nawaz Sharif's government, did a bad job in negotiating with China. And then he even suggested to put everything on hold for a year. Immediately after his statement, General Bajwa had to go to China. Clearly, the Chinese were not happy with Imran Khan's criticism. Plus, everyone knows the amount of corruption that has happened in the CPEC project. From top bureaucrats to military generals and even their children, everyone has made huge amount of money. So naturally, Imran Khan's statement was not at all liked by the Pakistani military. I'll give you one more example. If you remember, in May 2019, Imran Khan revealed the total loan accepted from China under IMF pressure. So basically, this was supposed to be a top secret deal between Pakistan and China. But then Imran Khan, under the IMF pressure, disclosed every type of loan that Pakistan has received from China. Who controls IMF? Majority of them are the Western countries. So obviously China did not like it. They were not at all happy with Imran Khan. If China is not happy, then the Pakistani military leadership will also not be happy. And then the final incident with China was, if you remember, in July 2021, some 9 Chinese engineers were killed in Dasu Dam project. China demanded some $38 million compensation from Pakistan. And by the way, that incident was not just an accident. The bus that was carrying those 9 Chinese engineers, it collided with a car that had explosives. China even ordered Pakistan to conduct a high-level investigation. But as usual, the Pakistani government failed to investigate and concluded that the incident was just an accident. Obviously, China was not satisfied. Pakistan even tried putting the blame on Indian intelligence agency. Obviously, that did not work out in Pakistan's favor. That is one more reason why China and the Pakistani military was not happy with Imran Khan. Imran Khan tried to act smart with United States as well. You remember last year in June 2021, Imran Khan in an interview said, Pakistan will absolutely not allow the United States to use any Pakistani bases and territory. Imran Khan's famous statement, absolutely not, which is said to United States, the story behind that is just that Pakistan wanted money from United States. Because Pakistan sensed an opportunity. They saw United States withdrawal from Afghanistan as an opportunity to extort some money because Pakistan knew that United States would need Pakistani soil for transporting military hardware. Imran Khan was trying to act smart. First of all, what you need to understand is that even if United States wants to use Pakistani territory, Pakistan government and Pakistan military cannot deny that. US has been using Pakistani territory since 30-40 years. Since 1947, Pakistan has been living under the aid given by United States. The US has been the largest contributor of financial aid to Pakistan since 1947. Between 1951 and 2017, Pakistan received somewhere around $60 to $70 billion money in aid. So Imran Khan's absolutely not statement is a false flag. Alright, leave that aside. Just think about it. How come so many Pakistani generals have homes in United States and Europe? Their children live in Western countries? How did they get United States passport? In fact, Pakistan's National Security Advisor, Mohid Yusuf, was part of the United States Institute of Peace. Have you ever seen any country's National Security Advisor living and working in a key department of some other country? All of this raised big questions. Anyhow, so Imran Khan's absolutely not statement was not liked by the Pakistani military leadership. Because he's going to get the Pakistani generals in trouble, who have their homes and families in Western countries. And the last incident that I want to point out is regarding Saudi Arabia. If you remember, in June 2019, Imran Khan insulted Saudi Arabia's King Salman. The Saudi government even described the conduct of Imran Khan as a violation of the ceremonial protocol. If you look at the Saudi Arabia and Yemen conflict, the Houthi movement backed by Iran is an active armed movement comprised of Shia rebels who are fighting the Saudi forces. Saudi Arabia is aware of the fact that the IRGC, which is a branch of the Iranian armed forces, they recruit Pakistani Shia men for their brigade. And even the Pakistani intelligence agency ISI is aware of this. So you see, even Saudi Arabia is not happy with Pakistan. So overall, if you see United States, China and Saudi Arabia, no one is happy with Pakistan. And Imran Khan was the central character who spoiled the relationship between all these three major contributors of Pakistani economy. That is why you must have also heard that Imran Khan used to complain that Joe Biden is not calling him. Prime Minister Modi is not picking up his call. And now Imran Khan no longer has power. The only strategy that is left in his pocket is to praise India and simultaneously calling for fresh elections. So you see, it is desperation at its peak. I have highlighted some of the compliments Imran Khan has given to Prime Minister Modi to the Indian foreign policy and also about Indian citizens. Although it hardly matters to India what he has to say, but I want you to understand how much a person's tone changes when power goes away. So basically, if you look at all these incidents, you will realize that Imran Khan, after becoming the Prime Minister, he became so much self-absorbed that he forgot his party PTI does not even have a majority in the National Assembly. He became the Prime Minister only because of the Pakistani military. Imran Khan had a coalition government and all the other stakeholders who supported his political party, they have allegiance towards the Pakistani army. And that is why Imran Khan became the Prime Minister. And his false ego became the reason for his downfall. And by the way, Imran Khan is also the first Prime Minister in Pakistan's history to have been removed through a vote of no confidence. Now if we look at the new Prime Minister of Pakistan, Shehbaz Sharif, the thing that you have to understand about Pakistan's new Prime Minister is that nothing is going to change. Pakistan is still going to remain what it was. You can think of it this way. The arrival of the new Pakistan Prime Minister is nothing but a brand new packaging of old material. From top, it is meant to look that something different has happened. But on the inside, it is the same old material. And to give you some evidence of that, Prime Minister Modi tweeted and congratulated the new Pakistan Prime Minister on Twitter. And he also expected future potential development opportunities, which is basically a standard way of greeting any country head on a public platform. But look at the response of the Pakistan's Prime Minister, especially the last line, and I quote, "Pakistan's sacrifices and contribution in fighting and eliminating terrorism are well known and globally acknowledged. To my fellow Indian citizens, I don't need to explain it to you what kind of a garbage this statement sounds like. And for those of you who are watching outside India, let me tell you this. In this statement, you only have to remove the words fighting and eliminating. Rest all is fine." In Hindi, there is a saying, "Jo muh mein aaya, bol diya." Meaning whatever that comes in your mouth, spit it. He could have easily avoided saying this particular statement because it sounds idiotic and at the same time it also showcases Pakistan's newly appointed Prime Minister's double standard, as if he is not aware of his country's past. I'm not going to elaborate much on that. I have a video called Why United States Left Afghanistan. Watch that video, you will get to know about Pakistan's role in terrorism. You should read about Operation Cyclone, in which Pakistan became a middleman, basically a broker for supplying weapons given by CIA to Mujahideen fighters in Afghanistan for fighting against the Soviets. To take revenge of the 1971 East Pakistan defeat, Pakistan launched K2 mission, that is Khalistan and Kashmir. It is because of Pakistan, militancy and insurgency in Indian Punjab started in 70s and 80s. Then in 90s, they did the same thing in Kashmir. Who created Lashkar-e-Tayyaba and Jaish-e-Mohammed? What are these organizations? They are nothing but affiliates of Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Pakistani army and ISI are responsible for creating religious militancy in Kashmir. So watch that video, you will get to know everything in detail with proper timeline of the events. And once you get to know about Pakistan's history with terrorism, after that if you read this statement by the current new Prime Minister of Pakistan, you will sense a strong presence of double standards. So if at all today he's mentioning Pakistan's sacrifices and contribution in fighting and eliminating terrorism, you have to carefully read between the lines. This statement of Sharif is totally in line with the Pakistani army's narrative. If you see, Imran Khan said the opposite. He said Pakistan was fighting America's war and suffered heavy loss of men and material. He actually spoke the truth. And that's what got him in trouble with the Pakistani military leadership. But here, Shehbaz Sharif followed the Pakistani army's narrative. Think about it, if the new Prime Minister of Pakistan is supposed to be a symbol of change, then certainly his statement contradicts his beliefs. And hence I say that the new Prime Minister of Pakistan is no different. Only the packaging is new, but the inside material is same. And for those of you who believe, why do we have to dig up the past? It's time to have a forward approach and think of future possibilities. To them, I can only say one thing. Future is bright for India even without Pakistan. There is no second thought in that. I have a video on how India has arrived at the center stage of world politics. Watch that, you will get some idea of India's foreign policy. And to be very frank, today no country in this world cares whether Pakistan exists or not. Only Pakistan feels that the world needs them. In reality, there is nothing like that. by giving few singers who sing Qawwali, Ghazals, some Urdu songs. That's it. What else Pakistan offers, tell me? Maybe some carpets, undergarments, sports goods, some dry fruits or animal products. That's it. These things don't weigh much. Pakistani soft power might be fascinating because there are people who love sher o shayari, shairana andaaz, mughal bazi, lekin wo zindagi jeene ke liye bhi jeb mein paise hone chahiye, jo Pakistan ke paas hai nahi. So the desperate urge of doing business is not happening from India's side. It is Pakistan who needs money, and it is Pakistan who needs India's help. This is the actual truth. And if at all some Pakistani says, hold on, we also export wheat, then here is a statement from Taliban who said, Pakistan's wheat is of poor quality, India's wheat is good. When it comes to food, I think even bad guys would not lie. Everyone needs good quality food after all. And by the way, India is supplying wheat in Afghanistan through Pakistan's land route. An interesting question that may come in your mind is, how come Pakistan is allowing India to transport anything in Afghanistan through Pakistani soil? Or at least Pakistan should have attached some conditions, right? Because that is what Pakistan does. It looks for self-benefit in everything, be it war, terrorism, as well as humanitarian aid. So this time they were not able to dictate terms. Why? Because this year in February, the Indian government had signed an agreement with the World Food Program for the delivery and distribution of wheat, as well as some life-saving drugs in Afghanistan. World Food Program is basically an organization of United Nations that provides humanitarian assistance in the area of hunger and food security. Initially, Pakistan did not allow India to use Pakistan's land route for supplying wheat and life-saving drugs to Afghanistan. And the reason is obvious. Why would Pakistan allow India anything without attaching conditions? Pakistan is like the person who always look for an opportunity where they can take advantage of the opposite person and extort money, be it war, terrorism, as well as humanitarian aid. But then Pakistan this time had to change their mind, because the World Food Program is United Nations program, and all major countries are part of this program. And then Pakistan is also in the grey list of FATF. The next session of FATF will take place in April this month. All eyes are on whether Pakistan will be blacklisted from promoting terrorism, or will it still remain in the grey list as before. So in such a situation, do you think Pakistan can dictate terms? That too for supplying humanitarian aid. Sab milke na Pakistan ka bhoot bana denge. That is why politely Pakistan had to agree and allow 50 Indian trucks to supply wheat to Afghanistan through Pakistan's land route. Shehbaz Sharif is also the brother of former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. During the 70s, they both used to run their family business, that is steel production and mining. Their company was one of the largest steel producers in Pakistan. That means obviously they had good political connections both in the government and in the Pakistani military. That is how their company received large contracts and made huge profits. So corruption was very much part of Sharif brothers' business. By using corruption money, these two brothers made their way into the Pakistani politics. In 1976, Nawaz Sharif joined Pakistan Muslim League. 11 years later, in 1987, his brother Shehbaz Sharif joined Islami Jamhoori Ittehad. Shehbaz Sharif has also done some good job in his political career. For example, when he became the Chief Minister of Punjab Province in 1997, he really handled governance well. He was also praised for having contributed immensely in areas such as healthcare, agriculture, infrastructure and industrial sector. Despite that, he's not clean. In 1998, he was accused of unlawful killing, but later he was acquitted by the Pakistani court. Then Pakistan's former president Asif Ali Zardari has also accused both the brothers for planning his assassination. One more thing that I need to tell you is that Sharif brothers are very much liked and respected by the Saudi royal family. In 1999, when General Pervez Musharraf overthrew the civilian government and sent both the Sharif brothers to jail, they were in jail for 2 years. After that, they were released only because of Saudi Arabia's intervention. Saudi Arabia's king gave his own residence to the Sharif family to stay. That is how they have a close bonding and relationship with the Saudi Arabian royal family. But then apart from all of this, he has genuinely done good for Punjab province while he was the chief minister. Pakistan's public was as it is fed up with Imran Khan. The military establishment was also fed up with Imran Khan. Three important countries that Pakistan depends on, even they were fed up with Imran Khan. And finally, if you look at Pakistan's economy, which is on the verge of collapsing, so naturally they need a big change. Even in Sri Lanka, the public is protesting against Rajapaksa brothers to resign. So naturally, during a crisis, every country looks for changes. That is how the opposition political parties together formed an alliance called PDM, People's Democratic Movement, that emerged as the only viable option to take over the Pakistani governance. And that is how Shehbaz Sharif became the new Prime Minister of Pakistan. Now the question is, how good will he turn out to be for India-Pakistan relations? And I've already mentioned, there is not going to be much of a change. He will continue to work under the guidance of military leadership, although he may not make it look that way. That is where the whole idea of hybrid government comes into the picture. Hybrid means something that is made up of two different elements. Plus, Shehbaz Sharif is also aware of how the Pakistani military functions and what their capacity is from his past experience. That is why you will see after losing his power, Imran Khan started blaming United States for his downfall. He has accused United States for interfering in Pakistan's internal matters. He's just trying to gain sympathy by playing the victim card. But what is more interesting is that the new Pakistani government has given a clean chit to United States and said there is no foreign conspiracy against Pakistan. If you see Pakistan giving clean chit to United States, it does not really matter because United States does not really care about Pakistan, but it matters to the Pakistani military and their leadership. As I mentioned, United States and Europe is like a second home to many of these Pakistani generals and diplomats. They simply cannot upset United States. And you can see that from Pakistani Army Chief General Bajwa's statement. He immediately went for damage control right after Imran Khan accused United States. So what does it say? The Pakistani military leadership does not want to upset United States and China. And whatever the Pakistani military leadership wants, that has to be obeyed and followed by the civil government. So personally, I believe Shehbaz Sharif is well aware of his limits and he will not do anything to upset the Pakistani military leadership because that may not end up well for him. Although he may try to do some stunts every now and then just to keep his approval ratings high in the eyes of Pakistani public. As long as he doesn't work against Pakistani military's interest, everything will be acceptable. So if you see, it's going to be a tough job for Shehbaz Sharif. He has to follow the interest of Pakistani military leadership. Then he also has to keep his position secured by keeping his political partners happy because he runs a coalition government. And the toughest part is he also has to improve Pakistan's economy, which is already facing multiple challenges in the form of falling foreign exchange reserves, rising current account deficit and high inflation. So let's see what happens to Pakistan. We need to give some time to the new government. So probably by the end of this year, we will find out where Pakistan is heading. But as of now, things don't look that great. And even if Pakistan reaches out to India for doing business, India can very well continue to ignore. If you have seen the news just a week ago on 16th April, there was a terrorist encounter in Anantnag district of South Kashmir. Shehbaz Sharif became the Prime Minister on April 12th and this incident happened few days after. So don't think that relations will become normal between India and Pakistan just because there is a change in the leadership. I mean, just think about it. Why is it so difficult for Pakistan to get rid of terrorism? They don't want to because terrorism has become a billion-dollar business. Fighting a war is easy. The defense ministry and the foreign ministry can easily take care of it. But insurgency is a cheaper alternative. Every now and then, few terrorists make it across the border and cause massive damage. Pakistan is fully aware that it cannot fight a full-scale war with India. That is where terrorism is an alternative for them. Unfortunately, the Pakistani military and intelligence services have always and are still linked to terrorist groups. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.